Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yo, it's Keith Smith, Atlanta Falcons fullback, and you're listening to Pro Football Chase Podcast.
This is Jamon Bushrod, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, it's Jimmy Ward. You're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hello, this is center Nick Martin for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, it's Willie Gay Jr., Chiefs linebacker, and you're listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Keith Kirkwood, wide receiver, number 19 for the Carolina Panthers, and you're listening to the podcast of Pro Football Chase.
Hey, everyone, it's Chris Wormley here, Steelers defensive lineman, and you guys are listening to the Pro Football Chase Podcast.
Hey, what's up? It's Browns linebacker, Jacob Phillips, and we're live on the Chase Podcast.
All right, what's going on, y'all? This is Chandler Sullivan, number 39 for the Green Bay Packers, and you're tuning in to Pro Football Chase. Let's go.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase Podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you and my co-host, NFL defensive tackle Jarrell Worthy. Jarrell, we're getting ready for week 14 of the NFL season, man. The time is flying, and it's crazy how fast this season continues to progress on. So before we get into a variety of topics, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing excellent this morning, bro. It's a beautiful day down here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have an opportunity to talk about some great picks today and some debacles from last week. Hopefully you stand safe over there, bro.
Doing what we can to ensure that everybody around us is safe as well. So let's get into some NFL football, Jarrell. There's a lot to get into, man. And I want to talk about some of our Week 13 takeaways. There's a lot of major trending NFL storylines. And for me, Jarrell, one major takeaway that I had watching some games this weekend was, how about the Giants, Joe Judge, Colt McCoy? It was an absolute upset that they went into Seattle with Colt McCoy, Daniel Jones nursing that hamstring injury. Not a lot of people had the Giants winning that ball game, but defensively, they came out, they locked down Russell Wilson in a game which I know I thought Russell Wilson was going to light it up and Seattle was going to win big, but New York ended up toppling the Seahawks 17-12 with McCoy and rookie head coach Joe Judge. I think he deserves some respect for the work he's done in that Giants organization. Dave Gettleman has been thrown all the fire the last several years with some of the decisions he's made. Of course, the most notable one, trading Odell Beckham Jr., taking Daniel Jones so early in the draft. Now, I'm going to say it's still too early to call it a success, but at least for Joe Judge and for Sunday, going to Seattle and shutting them down defensively, Leonard Williams, who was a cast off from the crosstown rival New York Jets, had 2.5 sacks and 5 quarterback hits. The Giants now have 12 sacks over the last 4 games. So, Jarrell, they are firing on all cylinders. I have to show some respect to the Giants.
Yeah, you got to show some respect. And you also got to show some respect to Joe Judge. I think he's been a guy that's been calm this whole season. He's had an opportunity to rip into his players about their play earlier in the year and the way that they competed. And they found they're finding their niche, man. They don't have a lot of household names, but at the end of the day, they're playing together, and their offense continues to flourish. even without Daniel Jones out there. Colt McCoy, he managed the game. If you look at his stats, 13 for 22, 105. But it was the defense. It was the ground and pound. Wayne Gallman going for 8.5 a carry. I mean, that's going to win you a lot of football games if you can win up front and control the line of scrimmage like they did.
Now, the NFC East wasn't done, Jarrell, because Washington, Ron Rivera, Alex Smith, and his remarkable comeback story, it continued on the biggest stage on Sunday when they gave the Pittsburgh Steelers their first loss of the 2020 season. That was an incredible performance because Washington got down 14-0. All of us were thinking the same thing, that Pittsburgh was just going to run away with this game. But they battled. They stayed through it. They stayed with it. And defensively, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, they got after Ben Roethlisberger. And I got to tell you what, Jack Del Rio, his work as a defensive coordinator there in Washington, it's starting to show its colors because this team continues to improve every single week. Chase Young, although his stat sheet didn't look all that admirable, he was in the backfield pretty often and made that big-time goal line stop for the Washington football team. So half of that NFC East, Jarrell, as bad of a division as it's been this year, the Giants and the Washington football team, they showed up, showed out, and all of a sudden, them two teams are vying for that NFC East title as we move to week 14.
Yeah, man, it's starting to come around the stretch, bro. Ron Rivera really is starting to generate a lot of notoriety and a lot of pub, man. I think he definitely should, you know, if the Washington football team gets into the playoffs, they happen to win out this division, he should definitely get Coach of the Year, especially with all the fire that he's been under from a name change from perspective, cancer perspective, you know, dealing with all the obstacles that he has to face. Ron Rivera continues to coach the Washington football team through high waters, and they continue to get it done. But when you look at the football game, man, their defense is playing lights out. Their front seven, Sweat, Chase Young, these guys are going out there and really laying it to quarterbacks, man. And that's terrorizing, man. I think the great news is, you know, these guys are young. They're still in their rookie deal. So you still have opportunities to build around this football team moving forward. And Washington finally has something to cheer about because these guys are going out there playing good football. They're not beating themselves and they're finding ways to score offensively, man. Shout out to my guy, Logan Thomas, on the receiving end, man, go from a quarterback to a tight end. And has lasted a very long time in the National Football League and continues to play at a high level, man. So shout out to my dog, Logan Thomas, for going out 9 receptions, 98 yards and a touchdown, man. He continues to put on a good show.
Yeah, the football team held the Steelers to a season low 17 points and just 21 rushing yards. Again, another testament to how good that defense has been, hard nosed. But Jarrell, Alex Smith, 36 years old. He threw for 296 yards against the Steelers, including that 29-yard completion to Cam Sims on 3rd and 4 that set up the go-ahead field goal late in the fourth quarter. I mean, his journey is just incredible. 17 surgeries to that leg. Talk of amputation. He had a life-threatening infection. Missed 2 seasons. The guy battled back to get back on that gridiron. And man, to see him playing quarterback in the NFL after looking at all that he's accomplished, all that he's overcome, it is just an incredible feat. And you can certainly tell that the team around him, the organization, and Ron Rivera, they rally around Alex Smith for the player he is on and off the field.
Yeah, he's a good football player, man. And he's a great leader. I mean, to come in and to come back from that type of surgery, that type of trauma to your leg, and to compete at a high level like he is, it's a testament to his mindset, his willpower, and just great support system around him, because nobody can do it alone. So Alex Smith continues to shine, and we know that Alex Smith is not going to be a turnover machine. Like, he's very efficient with his passing. He knows how to make great decisions. He's been in the NFL for a very long time. And so it's great to see him out there competing at a high level and to really go on the road and get it done, man. Pittsburgh don't lose at home very often. So Pandemic or not, man, fans in the stands or not, bro, they went in there and they showcased a hell of a game and a hell of a comeback.
All right, on we go to the next trending topic, Jarrell, and this has to do with the New York Jets. Greg Williams fired on Monday morning. The decision came on the morning after Williams called an ill-fated all-out blitz, cover zero, that resulted in a 31-28 loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, the guy got ripped on national media the day after for calling the cover zero look. His players, Marcus May, Neville Hewitt, all of them talked about how they were kind of dumbfounded after they heard the call. But Neville Hewitt, who's in charge of calling out the plays to the defense, the inside linebacker for the Jets, said that he didn't audible out of it, and he was kicking himself afterwards because it gave up that big play to Henry Ruggs. Derek Carr hit him for the game winner. Jarrell, what exactly is going on there in New York? And Greg Williams and everything that he did leading up to that cover zero look, what's your take on it all?
And it just shows that, you know, this is a guy that's already checked out, man. I don't think that, you know, no defensive coordinator in the National Football League is going to be calling a play like this, especially at a time in a situation like that, man. If you call that play in the red zone, we saw the Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers with calling a zero blitz in the Super Bowl. And we know that play does work, but not in that situation, man. And we're talking about Henry Ruggs, a guy that runs 4-2, that can run past anybody in your defensive backfield. So why would you leave him out there on an island like that, matched up? All he had to do was give the guy a hezzy, and the guy fell for it, knowing that this was the last play of the game, still fell for the hezzy and was able to get beat over the top, man. That's poor coaching, poor decision making by Greg Williams. And we just know that he's a guy that's full of confidence, and sometimes it can come off as very strong arrogance, and it showed, man. These guys, I really feel bad for the New York Jets. Obviously the fans won because they still continue to be in play for the number one pick. But as far as guys that this is their livelihood and they go out there to compete week in and week out to feed their families, I feel bad for these guys, man, because this would have been a great win for the organization.
They're saying, you know, these guys, a lot of people look at it from the fan perspective and the fact it's like, rejoice the Jets, you know, they lost, they keep that number one overall pick for Trevor Lawrence, but these guys, man, they are battling throughout the entire course of the season. Nobody knows the work they're putting in the film room, in practice, in the weight room. And the last thing they want to have is an 0-16 season to their name. And so they want to scratch, fight, and claw for every minute of a football game to get at least one victory. And so for the game to end that way, and nobody talks about this side enough, everybody wants to talk about, well, the Jets are just being the Jets, they clearly wanted to tank, but I can see the player side of it, and these guys, they don't want to be on a winless football team, and you know more than a lot of people, Jarrell, as a former NFL player, what goes on in the locker room, what goes on in the team's headquarters leading up to these football games and all the preparation that goes into it. So I certainly understand that side of it, and it does suck for the players, especially because that defensive call really put them in a bad spot.
Yeah, it was the killer for them. And I mean, especially, like, you know, as a defense man, you're going up against Darren Waller all game. He's literally slicing you apart the entire game, going for 200 yards. He was virtually unstoppable, and you still have an opportunity to be successful in the end, and you really let that thing go. And that's where that's the disappointment, man, because, you know, a coach needs to understand, man, we've been getting torched all game, and we're still ahead in the fourth quarter, and we have a chance to get out of here with the win. The goal is to win, man. You know, it doesn't matter how you do it. The goal is to win. So Greg Williams, I'm very excited to see that he's out the door. Because, you know, obviously he's had a history in the league of being this type of a really up and down coach as far as his demeanor is. And so at the end of the day, man, we're glad to see the Jets get a fresh start. And I'm looking for them to be more competitive this upcoming week, man, especially with getting a guy like that out the door.
Now let's go ahead and pivot to perhaps the biggest news of Tuesday, and that was Doug Peterson announcing that Jalen Hurts was going to start over Carson Wentz as the 3-8-1 Eagles host the 10-2 Saints. And New Orleans ranks number one in defense, so this is not going to be an easy task for Jalen Hurts with an offense that has been unable to hit the high gear with Carson Wentz. So, Jarrell, when you look at this move, man, and you see Carson Wentz, a guy that exited the game after completing 6 of 15 pass attempts for 79 yards, and then Hurts replaces him and finishes with 5 of 12 pass attempts, 109 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 29 rush yards on 5 carries. So you did see the Eagles offense get a little bit of a spark against Green Bay. But in your opinion, is this the right move for Philadelphia?
Well, it's going to have to be the right move. And unfortunately, it comes at a bad time because this guy just signed an extension. So at the end of the day, he's going to be counting against the salary cap for Philadelphia. So, I mean, for his play to obviously go in the tank is definitely, it doesn't bode well for him, and it doesn't bode well for this for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, obviously, Jalen Hurts, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's just a known winner, a guy that's that stayed the course throughout his entire football career and knows that when the time is right, he has to show up. And so he's always delivering in the biggest stages when it was his time to shine. And so at the end of the day, I'm rolling with Jalen Hurts, and we'll see how the Philadelphia Eagles can put some things together. And I think this is a very tough decision for Doug Peterson, because I think, you know, he's had to deal with this Carson Wentz question for the last 3 years. When you obviously have Nick Foles go win a Super Bowl, and then you have that following year, he goes through an injury again. Then you have this year where his play is just drastically in the can. And so as a head coach who loves his quarterbacks, man, Doug Peterson was in a very tough position, and he just had to go with a guy that he knows is gonna give them a fresh start and that's gonna rejuvenate this offense.
Yeah, Wentz has been mirrored in the worst season of his career. Entering Sunday's game, he was first in interceptions with 15, sacked 46 times, 31st in completion percentage at 58.1%, and 30th in yards per attempt with 6.02 average. So he looks off. I think maybe it's something mentally where he's just not there. He doesn't look good out there on the field. Now, of course, you can't put all the blame on Carson Wentz. Obviously, that offensive line for the Eagles, they've had a revolving door there, so they haven't given him good protection. Receivers, they haven't surrounded him with a whole lot of talent on the outside. We understand that, but at the end of the day, Carson Wentz was missing easy throws. He's kind of been panicking in the pocket anytime he has somebody coming his way. Simple things like stepping up in the pocket or peeling outside and making a throw down the field. Those are some things that we saw the 2017 Carson Wentz do when he was having that MVP type of season. But this year, those plays we haven't seen from him. And so that's why you see Jalen Hurts, who replaced Carson Wentz on Sunday, despite those guys getting after him, he uses legs to work outside the pocket, run for first downs, make throws on the run. He has some tools and a skill set that can benefit the Philadelphia Eagles in their offensive line struggles. But make no mistake about it, he's been thrown into the fire against the number one defense, the Saints defensive front, led by Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis. Those guys are nasty, Jarrell, and so the timing of the move is a little bit odd, but I honestly don't think Doug Peterson had a choice but to go to Jalen Hurts. And you mentioned that contract. 18 months ago, Wentz was signed to a 4-year, $128 million contract extension with almost $70 million guaranteed, and the deal hasn't even kicked in yet, Jarrell. It's supposed to start in 2021, and get this, they're pretty much stuck with him unless something significant happens with maybe a restructured contract with a team that wants to acquire him in a trade. But he's going to count $35 million against the Eagles cap next year. He's expected to have a $59 million dead cap penalty to the Eagles if they would cut him. So chances are he's going to end up staying in Philadelphia. So this is where it puts that Eagles front office in a very muddy situation.
Yeah, now you gotta pull straws and see, you know, if there is a team out there that is willing to make a trade for Carson Wentz to rejuvenate his career. I think at the end of the day, man, you know, this guy's been dealing with a lot of mental struggles over the past 3 years. One is injury. Two is, can I live up to the hype? They drafted me to be this guy. Three is that they won without me. So how valuable am I to an organization? And so that messes with you mentally, man. So at the end of the day, because I think he's always felt like his job could be replaced at any moment because they've done that before. And so, well, at the end of the day, the worst is yet to come. The great thing is he can still sit back on this money because Philadelphia has to pay him. They owe him $22 million base salary next year. $15 million next year, 22 the year after that. And they don't have a potential out until 2022. And so at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles are married to Carson Wentz, and they might as well go ahead and get comfortable and buckle on up, man, because they're going to be stuck with this guy for a while.
Yep, and that's when it comes to making those decisions to extend a quarterback's contract before his rookie year is up, and these are the things you have to deal with. So Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and Doug Peterson there in Philadelphia, I think they're going to try to kick that financial aspect down the road to the offseason, but for now they understand that they are in a horrible spot in terms of their team performance, and so they're going with Jalen Hurts to see if he can bring a new dynamic, new energy to the offense. We're going to see how things go for the rookie on Sunday going up against the hottest team in football, the New Orleans Saints. So we will talk a little bit about that matchup, because now, Jarrell, we're going to get into some of these game picks, and we can still talk about some of these teams as we preview the matchup, because on Thursday night, we got a good one, and the New England Patriots, you showed some love to Bill Belichick last week, and they win, and they absolutely throttled the Chargers. Now, that doesn't say much, because the Chargers are another team that are sinking right now, and Anthony Lynn looks like he's about to be escorted out of the facility, but they are playing some phenomenal defensive football. Cam Newton has just been a game manager. They're 6-6 in the thick of that wild card playoff race in the AFC. Jarrell and the Rams, 8-4. They're now in contention to win the NFC West, with Seattle kind of dropping off a little bit. Thursday night football, big time game. Who do you like in this one?
Man, this is a tough one. But I'm going to go with the Rams because they're at home. I think I think that the Rams offense is going to be very complex. I think that they have what they need moving forward. And I believe if Goff doesn't turn the ball over, then the Rams are always going to be in contention. When Goff pushes the ball down the field and makes those careless mistakes, that's when the Rams kind of get behind the eight ball. I solely believe in their defense to be able to stop the run and to be able to get a beat on Cam Newton. Now, obviously, you know, he's mobile in the pocket, but, you know, he's a big target. And I believe that if Aaron Donald has an opportunity to beat the offensive lineman right away, then he'll be able to get his hands on Cam Newton and be able to bring him down to the ground. So I think the LA Rams are going to really expose the Patriots offense this week, and I like the LA Rams to be dominant in this one.
I, too, am going with the Los Angeles Rams. In the Rams' 8 wins, Jared Goff has 14 total touchdowns to just 2 turnovers, and that was the case in Week 13 when they knocked off the Cardinals. He threw for north of 350 yards without an interception. I know the Patriots defense, those guys continue to put together good outings week in and week out, and that's why the Patriots have won 4 of their last 5 games. I look for it to be a low-scoring game, but in the end, I will take the Rams 23-16 because LA's defense, led by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, they will fluster Cam Newton a little bit. And I like for the Rams to sneak away with a close victory over the New England Patriots. It's going to be a good one to watch on Thursday night, Jarrell. But we'll go ahead and move to Sunday. And this is another tight game to call because you have the 6-6 Minnesota Vikings, who are right back into the NFC wildcard playoff picture, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are just one game ahead of Minnesota in that NFC wildcard spot. They're 7-5. Jarrell, coming off a bye week, this is a big-time game with heavy playoff implications. Are you going to roll with Tampa or Minnesota?
I like Tampa in this situation, coming off the bye. I like these guys to really correct what they did in the secondary and to be effective this week. We know that the Minnesota Vikings love to run the football. They're very aggressive up front. They want to get Cook out on the edge and some passing game as well. And I really believe in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers front seven. That's been the strength of their defense all year. And so I think they have an opportunity to take the ball away. You know, unfortunately, it's off my guy, Kirk Cousins. Shout out to my dog. But Tampa Bay, I think that they have opportunities to get their hands on the ball this week. And I just believe that their offense gets back rolling and they'll be able to put up some big numbers, man. I like the Tampa Bay Bucs in this one.
The Vikings have won five of their last six games. So this is a team that is rolling offensively, but I'm going to take the Buccaneers to win this game 27-24 by a field goal. This is going to be a close game. It'll come down to the final minutes of the ball game, but in the end, defensively, I like what Tampa has to offer. This is a time where I'm sure Todd Bowles got his defense in. They reviewed the film, and they're going to lock things down. They're going to have to stop Dalvin Cook on Sunday. But if they can bottle him up a little bit, I like their chances to slow down Minnesota's offense. So that's why I feel like they will come away with a tight victory. So looking forward to seeing how that one turns out. Jarrell, Cardinals at Giants. Here we have.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Another good matchup. Arizona, they have been reeling the last several weeks. They're now 6-6. The Giants, they're trending upwards, 5-7. Jarrell, I'm going to take the G-men in this game. They're at home. Daniel Jones is expected to start. He's coming back from that minor hamstring injury. But this Giants defense, I talked about it at the beginning of the show. They are dominant. Leonard Williams playing alongside Dalvin Tomlinson and Logan Ryan. He has been a major boost to that secondary, bringing that veteran leadership. The Giants, they are riding hot right now. And Arizona, they look all out of sorts offensively, Jarrell. This is a game where I see that New York defense show up big time to go along with that heavy dose of ground and pound Wayne Gallman on the offensive end. Giants 24-20 over the Cardinals.
Man, not so fast, man. I like the Cardinals in this one. I know the Giants have been very effective over the last couple weeks defensively, but I like the Cardinals to bounce back. I like their offense to be able to be dynamic against this Giants defense. And they just give them a little bit of a mix and mingle that the Giants haven't prepared for all year. And one thing is that Larry Fitzgerald got activated off the COVID list. So they get their old reliable back man in the offensive scheme. So they get a guy that's going to be highly effective in the slot. When he's in the slot and he's effective, the Arizona Cardinals offense looks completely different. And I just believe that the Giants are going to want to run the football. And the Arizona Cardinals are going to boast well against the run. And I think with the addition of Paco signing in him and him plugging in, I think he'll be able to plug some gaps in the middle. And Buda Baker coming downhill, I really like the Cardinals to be dominant against the Giants.
Chiefs at Dolphins, 11-1 Kansas City, 8-4 Miami. This is a game that I wish was flexed to primetime because this will be a good one. Miami, Brian Flores, that defense, they have been a turnover machine. They are putting pressure on opposing offenses, and now they're going to have their biggest challenge of the season. Patrick Mahomes coming to town. I will still take the Chiefs to win this game, though. Even though the Dolphins are going to play it tough, it's just offensively, I am not seeing enough from Tua to give the Dolphins the edge. Even though this defense has been giving the offense great field position with those turnovers, this is Kansas City we're talking about here with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I think this will be a tightly contested ball game, Jarrell, but in the end, Kansas City will pull it out with a score of 33-24. I want to give it to the Dolphins, but right now, Kansas City, they're on another level.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Kansas City as well. Although it's going to be highly competitive, it's going to come down to the wire. And I like Kansas City to kick a late field goal to take this win. The Dolphins defense, man, if their D-line comes out and plays physical with the Chiefs up front, then they're going to be able to be in contention in this game. But if they give Patrick Mahomes an opportunity to run back there and do what he does best, then it's going to be a long contest for them. I just believe that the Chiefs look well offensively. But they allowed Melvin Gordon to run for 8 yards a carry last week, man. He was highly effective last week. Those holes were open like the Sea of Jordan. And so I think if the Dolphins can run the football effectively, they have a chance to continue to be in these tough football games. And but I just believe at the end of the day, man, the Chiefs are going to pull it out at the end just because that's what they do, man. They're very good at coming back and securing the win late in the fourth quarter.
Titans 8-4 at the Jaguars 1-11. Jarrell, the Tennessee Titans, they're losers of 3 of 4 since that 5-0 start to the season. There's renewed questions about the Titans' status as a legit contender in that AFC. The Browns slapped them around last week. Of course, they're up against the Jaguars, so I'd like them to get the job done. 35-17. Mike Glennon, to his credit, he's looked pretty decent for the Jaguars, but this is a game that the Tennessee Titans must come out, shake off some of that rust. This is a Derrick Henry 200-plus yard type of game because we know he owns that Jacksonville Jaguars franchise. Every time they meet up, Derrick Henry goes off. Tennessee must win this game and win big to get a little bit more of that momentum back as they head toward the final stretch of the season.
Yeah, Tennessee's got to get their groove back, man. They were punched in the mouth last week by the Browns. They were more physical than they were, and they were able to stop the Derrick Henry train, man. You know, over on the Cut the Check podcast, I took Derrick Henry myself, man. I thought that he was going to be very dominant. I thought that he was going to have an opportunity to go for a field day against the Browns just because they don't play well against better competition. But they proved me wrong, and they were able to really shut down Derrick Henry and really be effective against Ryan Tannehill. And so the Titans, man, they have an opportunity to get back in contention with the Jaguars, man. There can't be a better team to get a win against, man. They're 1-11 and they're down in Florida. So they have an opportunity to get themselves right back in contention.
Next game on Sunday slate, the Cowboys 3-9 at the Bengals 2-9-1. Drill. This is the game that can also be known as the battle for the number 3 pick in the 2021 NFL draft, because if the Dallas Cowboys lose this game, that means that they would be ahead of the Bengals. You and I talked a little bit about this. This is a Cowboys team that once again got throttled last night by the Baltimore Ravens, as expected, right? And I told you, I was boasting about it, that I was 1 point off my prediction. I had Baltimore winning 35-17. Final was 34-17, so I'll take some pride in that despite Dallas getting their butt kicked, man. But you played for Mike McCarthy. What are you seeing from this Dallas team, and why are they so atrocious, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
It just doesn't seem like they have any continuity, man, in the secondary. Their front seven is trying to be effective. They got some ballers up front, man, but everything in the back end just looks in disarray, bro. The coverage looks off. Some guys are playing zone. Some are playing man. If a guy's playing cover two, he lets the guy inside, which is the number one rule. And realistically, guys aren't sticking with their man in man coverage. And so the Cowboys just look they don't look like they have that will to want to win. I mean, obviously, the defensive line up front, you know, they're talking about extending Aldon Smith. He's played well this year. Lawrence hasn't necessarily been as effective at this year coming off that major deal. But the Cowboys, they realize that this season is slipped away, man. It's really over with at this point in time now. And so, I mean, they throw out the backups, man. Hopefully they throw out everybody else, man, and try to get this number 3 pick, because there's a lot of good players in this upcoming draft, and they have an opportunity to change their franchise.
Well, I'm thinking about the Cowboys. They should give my boy Ben DiNucci a shot on Sunday against the Bengals. If they really want to play for that number three spot, he's your guy. And so we'll see if Ben DiNucci gets an opportunity. But on another spin on this matchup, Jarrell, Andy Dalton gets to play his former longtime team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, of course, the Bengals playing without Joe Burrow. They went with Brandon Allen. He's hurt, so they may have to go with Ryan Finley. So this is just an ugly matchup. Both teams battling injuries. The Bengals placed their starting left tackle, Jonah Williams, on IR this morning. And let's just go ahead and say that I'll give Dallas the small win, 23-17, even though this game can go either side, can come out with a victory here. I wouldn't be surprised. But I'll give it to the Cowboys, 23-17 here.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Cowboys too, man. If I'm Andy Dalton, I'm trying to bleed him dry, bro. I'm going to try to flood him for 450 yards passing if I'm him. So at the end of the day, I think the Cowboys are going to come out and be competitive. Hopefully they give the ball to Zeke because he was highly effective last week. And then they kind of went to Pollard and they went away from the Zeke train. So we'll see if they learn their lesson and see if they can control the line of scrimmage this week.
Texans at Bears as we now turn the page. Houston lost a gut-wrenching game against the Colts with that fumble at the goal line. They'll take on the Bears 5-7. You know, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, they're clearly on the hot seat in Chicago. You know what? I do like Deshaun Watson and the job he's done. 19 total touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his previous 6 games before that loss to the Colts. So he's doing everything he can, especially with receivers being a shortage there in Houston. But because of that Chicago defense and because they're having to go to Soldier Field, I like Chicago to pull out an ugly type of game defensively. I think they're going to be able to control Houston just because of the lack of weapons that are surrounding Sean Watson. And offensively, it looks like Mitchell Trubisky may get another start, who didn't play too bad last week. But I'll give it to Chicago here, Jarrell, 27-19 over Houston.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Chi-Town too, man. Once you start to get into the winter months, it really starts to work in Chicago's favor, bro. Nobody wants to go to the Windy City to play when it starts to get cold out there, and especially guys that have been used to that southern weather down in Texas. So I take the Chicago Bears to squeak out a victory. I think it's going to be close. Deshaun Watson is going to try to put on a Superman type of performance, but I'm still going to roll with the Chicago Bears.
Broncos at Panthers. Both these teams are 4-8 on the outside of the playoffs. You know, both teams have kind of had their struggles. The Panthers coming off a bye week. I actually like Denver to pull this one out just because they've shown some things defensively. I know A.J. Boye was suspended 6 games, but offensively, man, when Locke can get the ball out to Judy and Noah Fant and Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon have been having a nice run back there. I like Denver to go into Carolina. We know Teddy Bridgewater will be there, but Christian McCaffrey, his status is still up in the air. This one will be close. I'll give it to the Broncos, 26-21.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Denver as well, man. We seem to be in agreement today. Just, you know, the Broncos have played well over the last couple weeks. Defensively, they've improved. Offensively, they found their niche when it comes to these running backs. Everybody's been having their choice of days when they want to shine. And so I like the Denver Broncos to be able to get a win. I think that it's going to be highly competitive, but I think the Denver Broncos have a chance to really go in and dominate.
All right, Jets 0-12 at the Seahawks. This, just like the Titans, very similar situation. The Seahawks need a big-time dominant win. They're back at home. We all know how this is going to come out unless we see the biggest upset of the season, if the Jets want to come out and make some noise, but I don't see it happening. Seattle will win pretty comfortably, 33-17 over the Jets. This is a game where Russell Wilson and that offense, they've been a little bit stagnant. This will be a game for them to cut things loose again.
Yeah, man, I'm a roll with the Seahawks too, bro. They have to be dominant in this one. You know, the Jets, man, they've tried to play well in all their games, but this is a game that the Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks have to have. They have to get their defensive backfield figured out, and they have to find ways to put pressure on the passer. So going up against an 0-12 team, they have to figure out all the things that they need to improve coming down the stretch, and so they have to be dominant. I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well.
A massive game here in the AFC for playoffs. And for the Colts, this is also a game as they continue to duel it out with the Titans for the AFC South title. But the Colts, 8-4, Raiders, 7-5. We know Las Vegas, even though they got the win against the Jets, a lot of people are still very down on them because they haven't looked like a very good football team the last couple of weeks. I'm going to roll with Indianapolis, Jarrell, 27-24. This is another game that should be back and forth. Now, of course, the health of Phillip Rivers, we know he's been banged up a little bit, but it's the trench work for Indianapolis, offense and defensively. We saw what DeForest Buckner brings to the table. Right now, Las Vegas, they look a little out of sorts on the offensive end. Defensively, their secondary is still being picked apart. I like Indy's defense to carry Indianapolis to that victory, so I'll take the Colts by 3.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Colts as well. Regardless of Phillip's health or not, I just think that the Colts boast well against the Raiders. You know, the Raiders want to run the football and get it out on the edge to their tight end. But I think that the Colts will have a solid game plan in order to be able to limit his touches and be able to double team him when he's definitely in the slot, bro. I think that that's going to be a very tough matchup for my guy, Kyrie Willis, that's going to be the safety coming down the guard to guard Darren Waller. So shout out to my Spartan dog. Go get it done, bro. Ball out. But I just think that the Colts are going to have an opportunity to run the football effectively. And Phillip Rivers knows this Raiders team, man. He knows about playing in the AFC West. He knows what these guys want to do. He knows the personnel over there. And so I think that the Colts have a way of pulling this one out.
All right, Packers at Lions, Green Bay 9-3. The Lions coming off a divisional win over the Chicago Bears. I think we're both going to be picking the Packers here because I just don't trust the Lions right now. Matthew Stafford, even though he's still fighting to finish off the season strong. But Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay offense, they look like a completely different beast out there. Davante Adams, he looks like a juggernaut as usual. Green Bay is averaging north of 33 points in their wins this season. I like Green Bay 34-23 over Detroit.
Yeah, I like Green Bay as well. The return of Lazard has really helped their offense tremendously. He's been able to give Aaron Rodgers that extra option on the edge beside Davante Adams. And really, they've been able to run the football effectively, and their defense has been playing lights out, man. They had a couple turnovers last week. And it's been very effective. So I like the Packers, man. Especially Aaron Rodgers against his NFC North opponents, man. He boasts well, especially against the Lions. I'm going to roll with the Packers.
Washington football team looking to keep pace with the Giants, going against the Niners. This game will be played in Arizona again because that's where San Francisco is relocated because of those COVID restrictions. But Jarrell, this is actually a closer game and a harder pick than many people would think, because while the Niners, they're playing with Nick Mullins and they are one of the teams that have been hit heavy by injuries, but Kyle Shanahan, man, as long as he's there, he gives his team a chance because of his offensive scheming, and he's going to have his hands full again with that Washington defense. And defensively, Robert Saleh has had some good looks from that defense too for San Francisco. So I look for this to be another game that is close throughout the course of the first, second, third, and fourth quarters, but I will give a slight nod to Washington to come away with a one touchdown advantage over San Fran, 24-17. I have the football team getting another win.
And I was rolling with the Washington football team, man. I like Alex Smith to be able to get some revenge against an old team of his and to be very effective on passing the football down the field and just getting the ball out, man. And I like their defense, man. Nick Mullins, he was up and down last week for me, although the 49ers defense was highly competitive. Richard Sherman didn't look too good in that secondary, man. So I think that the Washington football team has a way to do some exposing coming down the stretch.
Now we get the Saints and the Eagles matchup. We talked a little bit about it when we were discussing the Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz situation, Jarrell. I like the Saints in this game, 31-21, with the Eagles scoring a late garbage time touchdown. It won't be as close as the scoreline indicates. Right now, this is a Saints defense that they are playing on a tear. Now, Drew Brees, I think the way I understand it, he's unlikely to return from IR, so it's going to be Taysom Hill again for New Orleans. But the way this Philly secondary has been, I like how the Eagles' defensive line has played. You see Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, those guys are still playing at a high level, but that secondary, they've been an Achilles heel for Philadelphia, and that is where Sean Payton will scheme things up to Michael Thomas, and it'll be a nightmare scenario. And I just think that right now the Saints, they're playing on another gear in Philadelphia. They're going to struggle to keep up with them, so the Saints by 10 is my pick.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Saints by double digits as well. I just believe that the Saints have everything going for them. They got their bell cows back on offense now, and they're looking like they're moving in playoff form, man. Taysom Hill's been looking effective over the last few weeks, and was great, man. These guys have been undefeated on this tear, man, and still 10-2 without their number one quarterback. So this team is very effective, highly effective. Shout out to Sean Payton for continuing to coach him through this crazy tragedy with Drew Brees, and so. I like the Saints to go out there and be dominant. I like DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan to be very effective on the edge. And I like the Saints to be dominant.
One more game before we get to the primetime matchups. The Falcons 4-8 at the Chargers 3-9. Both of these teams, they're bottom feeders in their respective conferences. I'm going to take the Falcons to win here, Jarrell, 28-24. I tried to show the Chargers some grace last week, and it backfired tremendously. They got whomped by the Patriots, 45-0. Anthony Lynn, I think everybody in that organization knows he's on his way out. And Atlanta, despite them losing to the Saints, under Raheem Morris, they've looked pretty darn good. And Julio Jones is healthy. Matt Ryan, I just right now can't pick the Chargers based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks. So 28-24 Atlanta.
Yeah, man, the Falcons look very – I mean, they look like they're trying to compete for a playoff spot, which is crazy at 4-8. But, you know, their offense has been lights out, and their defense has caused a little bit of confusion for opponents that it's caused them to get a couple turnovers here and there. They've been playing a little bit more with a little bit more juice and energy, but I really like the Falcons in this one. I like them to be dominant. Like you said, it's sad for Anthony Lynn to go out the door, but you know, this Chargers team just doesn't, they don't look like they're trying to be highly competitive. To give up that many points last week to a team that isn't known to be dominant offensively, and they were able to get two special teams touchdowns, it's crazy, man. So I think the Chargers have a lot of holes to fix, and I like the Falcons.
Here we go. A juicy matchup here. The Steelers 11-1, Bills 9-3, Sunday Night Football, NBC. Jarrell, who are you going to take here?
Man, I'm actually going to take the Bills, bro. I like Josh Allen, man. Very effective last week, bro. AFC Player of the Week this week. And I really like what he was able to display, you know, these guys were very dynamic, man. He was moving around in the pocket, very effective. The 49ers defense aren't no slouches. They've been highly competitive. And so, you know, obviously the Steelers are a different monster, but they got to go on the road all the way up to that big old upstate New York. And I really like the Buffalo Bills to be effective in this one. If Josh Allen in this offense can control what they do well and he doesn't make any bonehead mistakes, I like the Buffalo Bills to squeeze out a tight one by a field goal over the Steelers. I think the Steelers realize that the undefeated season is out the door. The best they can hope for is to play well enough to get a playoff bye, but I like the Bills.
Yeah, man, I'm actually with you here. I'm going with the Bills, but by 10. Give me the Bills 34-24. Look, the Steelers, we know they got the loss, but you know, Jarrell, there's actually been a pattern because even though they've won some games, they've been playing really close and very sloppy football, and now they lost Bud Dupree, obviously, another big-time loss. Robert Spillane, the linebacker who stepped in for Devin Bush, he's out for an extended period of time. Joe Hayden, he's going to be in the concussion protocol, so who knows what his availability is going to be for this game. Right now, Pittsburgh, they're reeling, and they're facing a hot Bills team that's coming off a major win over San Francisco. Josh Allen, that offense, after hitting some rough patches earlier in the season, looks like Brian DeBall has that offense headed in the right direction. Defensively, Leslie Frazier has tightened the bolts a little bit on that secondary. So the Bills are a very good team, and I think they're going to come out and they're going to win pretty soundly, Jarrell, over Pittsburgh. I like where this Bills team is headed, and Sean McDermott deserves a lot of credit once again.
Yeah, man, he's been effective. Their secondary, they're made up of four Pro Bowlers, though, man. These are guys that are highly competitive, and they have opportunities to really be dominant. But the Bills, if they can tighten up what they do in the run game, the run defense has been their Achilles heel all year. If the Steelers are able to run the football, then it's going to be the Steelers' day to lose. But if their Bills are able to stop what the Steelers can do up front, and really put these guys behind the eight ball, then it'll really give Leslie Frazier an opportunity to do what he does well, which is come up with some dynamic blitzes and giving this great secondary chances to get the ball out quickly.
The final game of week number 14, Ravens at the Browns. This is a big game for the Ravens because they're fighting for their playoff lives. The Browns sitting at 9-3. Jarrell, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns here, 29-23 over Baltimore. That rushing attack with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, it is second to none in this league. They just dominate the time of possession. Baker Mayfield was given a little bit larger of a leash offensively against Tennessee, and he did not disappoint. Myles Garrett is still out there, and Sheldon Richardson on that D-line, and I'll take them to win this game over Baltimore by 6.
Man, not so fast, bro. I'm a roll with Baltimore on this one, bro. They got an opportunity to really get a nice win this past week. I know they're coming back off a little bit of a short week, but this is Monday Night Football. They're on the road. They know this is a division game. These guys have been here before. They finally got Brandon Williams back, Calais Campbell back. J.K. Dobbins looked effective last week. Hopefully we have an opportunity to see Mark Ingram. But they looked effective, man, defensively and offensively. And all you need is to get a win under your belt to kind of change the mindset in the locker room. So the Browns look very effective. They're riding a high, beating a tough Tennessee team that a lot of people had picked against them. And so I'd like them to be very competitive. But I just think the Baltimore Ravens have been here before, and they're going to squeeze out a tight victory.
Well, there you have it, week 14. We have the predictions all out there for you. Jarrell, it's going to be another interesting week of football. I'm sure plenty of more intriguing storylines we're going to have to break down next week. But until then, man, stay safe, take care, and God bless.
Absolutely, man. Happy holidays, and it's very exciting over here, bro. Thank you again for having me on, bro.
All right, man. Blessings.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.